Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Eisenhower. I'm the CEO and founder of ICC, or Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC is one of the largest real estate coaching companies in the world, with thousands of clients and a large team of the most accomplished coaches in the industry, who coach many of the highest producing real estate agents, teams, and broker owners in North America. I'm lucky enough to be a best-selling author myself, with over 10 books published, and I'm frequently a keynote speaker and presenter for many of the largest real estate companies in the world. I've spent my career creating training materials, courses, and other coaching and training content dedicated to transforming the real estate industry and real estate agents that work within it. You can find more content on my website, the world's leading production training website for real estate agents, at therealestatetrainer.com. That's therealestatetrainer.com. Now, on this podcast, I'll share tips, success stories, and training for agents and brokers looking to increase their business income while maintaining a balanced life. So whether you are a new licensee, a solo agent, a real estate team leader, or maybe a team member, a broker owner, or a manager, you are guaranteed to learn something new on each and every podcast episode. Now, not everybody is stuck on an inability to do open houses. In fact, I don't believe anyone can't do an open house. Am I correct? Can't. I know there's people saying you shouldn't. Is there anyone saying you can't? I don't believe there is.
You just have to define what the can't is. We cannot put an open house sign in our front yard and have it just anybody come in. You can do an open house, but it must be an appointment booked.
And okay, there you go. So I can, and that'll work. And at some point, we have to assume that little bit of regulation is going to fall away, right, Walter? Like at some point, right? We're going to have open houses again.
Yeah.
Agreed? Not like you're supposed to be Dr. Fauci or something, but you get the idea. Probably not the infectious disease expert that I need for that answer. However, at some point, open houses are going to come back. And what I'm seeing is it's happening city to city. Sometimes even MLSs are divided on it. Now, I will tell you, 90% of the country is doing open houses again, wide open. You guys aware of that? Like it's the Southern California is the unique one. You guys are the unicorns. Does that make sense? So if you're in an area that is still disallowing open houses, you're one of very few areas in this country that's still disallowing them. Maybe like five. Make sense? I don't know if that shocks you guys or not, but that is the facts of the matter. Okay. Now, here's the deal. One of the things that we at ICC coach with our teams and our agents that I found, open houses are a huge pillar of business. And I don't think there's ever been a better time for them than now, right now. And I'm seeing that too. Most of our clients are getting 60 to 100 people through their open houses right now. Isn't that crazy? And I know you think that wouldn't happen in your market. I'm here to tell you, yes, it would. Does that make sense? So what'll happen is there's no inventory right now, right? We all know that. Like houses are like unicorns. We can't find one. We can't even look at one. I don't even remember what the inside of them look like. So if you happen to be the only guy that has a listing, that's a big deal. Everybody wants to see it. You're the only guy with a listing. Then if you happen to be the only guy that also puts that listing as an open house, they're all coming to you. You've got toilet paper. You're the guy with all the toilet paper. You got the open house. So what's happening is those people that are able to have the open houses are having them. So when we have rules like Walter just said, that's an easy one to play with. I would just hold a normal open house. Trust me, I would, and I'm going to tell you the differences. So I would have a normal open house. I would market it like a normal open house. I'd put the sign in the yard like a normal open house, except I'd put by appointment next to all of it. I'd invite the general public like a normal open house. I would just put the words by appointment. Now, remember, I'm a salesman. So a lot of you are going to just get all freaked out by this and not be able to do it. I feel bad for you guys. I do. Because I'm going to sell 50 houses and you're going to be still complaining about the market in July. Here is what I'm talking about. Set it up like a normal one and then don't allow two people in that house at the same time. Do not allow two people into that house at the same time. Now you have escorted people through an open house one at a time by appointment. I don't care how they set the appointment. Are you with me? I know a lot of you are thinking hard. You're like, God dang, why haven't we been doing this? Because you're going to start now. And boy, you better. Or the guy in the box next to you is going to take all your business. Because open houses are going to have the biggest year ever in 2021. They already are. And a lot of people, especially solo agents, agents that are all by themselves, usually newer in their first 5 or 6 years, learn to hate open houses. They're taught that, which blows my mind. It'll blow any top producer's mind. Because every top producer knows, if they have the bandwidth, which means they have enough leverage around them, enough people around them, that they will generate a ton of income off open houses. And if anybody feels differently, you just haven't done enough of them.
I'm interrupting this podcast to share an amazing opportunity with you. This is your chance to see us in person. Join us at the ICC Summit along with the real estate industry's top producers as we gather together on the central coast of California for a weekend of masterminding, productivity training, and networking that you won't forget. Visit ICCSummit2021.com to learn more and use promo code PODCASTEARLYBIRD to get 20% off your registration. Register at the link in our show notes before spots are filled.
So one of the things that ICC coaches do with all of our clients is at the end of the year, we go back and have them source all their closings to find out where they came from. How many came from spheres of influences? How many came, you know, by referral? How many came from prospecting for expireds, from online leads, whatever? Open houses are usually either second or third behind an agent's sphere of influence when it comes to all the business. The bigger the team gets, the more business they get from open houses, because you have more agents on the team that can cover them all. And you can have 5 or 6 on a weekend. And you'll see that drums up so many buyers. And more importantly, listen up, tons of listing leads come from open houses if you know what you're doing. So now you've got 6 open houses out there in all these different neighborhoods, all your agents out there shaking hands with all of these neighbors that own houses that want to sell their house in spring and summer. What are they doing? Checking out the competition, seeing what the neighbor's getting for their house. That'll give them a rough idea of what they could sell their house for, right? That's what sellers do. If you want to go out and get business, go out and get face to face. You can do it. Everywhere in the country, you can do it. Stop using stupid MLS rules as an excuse to sit in your house and do nothing. I'm sorry, you can still be safe. You can go to work. You can wear a mask. You can make everyone wear booties. You can make everyone wear gloves. You can give everyone masks. You can shoot them all down with hand sanitizer as they walk in the door. I don't care. Make it safe. Do that. I'm not trying to say forget about it. But I am saying there is activity within your control, and it's working at the highest levels right now in San Diego, in Orange County, in West Los Angeles. All those places, our clients are having open houses and they're getting 50 and 60 people through. That's true in San Francisco, South Bay. It's true in Florida, Boston, all these places, Chicago. All those are all the markets that are a little bit shut down. So open houses are a big deal.
Take a quick break to talk about my newest book coming out this September, The High Performing Real Estate Team. Transform your real estate business into a sales powerhouse. Discover how to create a viral goal that spreads throughout your team and drives change. Learn to focus on core activities that result in the majority of your growth and productivity. Cultivate personal responsibility with public accountability and accelerate growth with a custom team dashboard that measures metrics for success. You can pre-order the book at the link in our show notes below.
Now, what we're trying, this is like a movement within my company that I'm trying to get all of my coaches to do with all of their coaching clients, right? Across the country. So here's the goal. Here's what I'm trying to do. This is what I want to show you how to do. I want you to set a pledge to yourself or your team or whoever depends on you, wife, spouse, that you are going to try and hold 2 open houses for every listing you take this year. And I don't care how fast they sell. All of you guys went, dang it, that was my excuse. It is so amazing how agents love to say, you just don't know my market like I do. It won't work here. It's been listening to that for 30 years. Make sense? I want you to hold 2 with every listing. Because inventory is very, very low. Lower than it has ever been. Right now, most agents are saying homes are selling too fast to hold an open house. That is an agent that has not learned yet all of the skill set of a real estate agent. Namely, they have not learned how to set an open house in a low inventory market. They are telling me that they can't. It's impossible because homes sell too fast. I contest that they are wrong. That you still can hold 2 open houses when all of your listings sell in less than 24 hours. How does he do it? Okay, so here's the scripts around that. Does anybody know how I do that? I never know how long it's been since I've said something. So I could have talked about this 5 years ago. I could have talked about it last week. I don't remember.
Do you mention backup offer?
That's Sarah, you're kind of cheating. You've heard me do this a lot. But yes, that's true.
I've used it. I've done it before.
Oh, good. Thank you, Sarah. Now this is testimonial. That is exactly right. Yeah. So what we do is in the listing appointment, we have to change our listing consultation process slightly so that once we get the listing agreement signed and we're talking about the next steps right before I leave the house, I'm going to say, here's what we really would like to do. And this has been what's been working for us as an association of realtors. In fact, I was just in a large training with our office earlier this week. P.S. That's where you are right now, where our trainer was talking to us about the importance of holding 2 open houses the first 2 weekends a listing goes live. And here's the catch. We're going to hold them even after offers come in and your house, and we accept an offer and it goes under contract. If we have an open house schedule, we're going to have it anyway. You want to know why? See that tie down? You want to know why? The reason why, Mr. Seller, is because when you work with Brian Eisenhower, we do everything we can to get you the highest amount of proceeds from the sale of your home. I'm not just trying to sell your house. I want to get you the most money. And I know a lot of people say that, but what we do proves it. And that's why we sell so much real estate. And what I mean is we're going to get your house sold. And what we're trying to do is get multiple offers on your house. Because if we get more than one offer to purchase your house, that's how we get the highest prices. We can bid them against each other and walk that price up as high as you want. And along the way, we can counter offer out to close any date you want. We can remove appraisal contingencies, get them to tighten up and make sure they're ready to go forward with this transaction and their inspections in a tighter time frame. We give you a lot of control. If we can get 2 multiple offers competing, it really puts you in a negotiating position of power. Does that make sense? And they'll say, yeah. So, great. Well, here's how we keep you in that position of power until all the negotiations have been concluded. Okay. So we're going to put your listing live on Thursday and we're going to hold an open house Saturday. And we're going to hold another open house the following Saturday. Now, there's a good chance the second open house, we're going to actually have your house under contract by then if we do everything right and get a little bit lucky. The first one may or may not, we might have some offers on it. But here's the deal. We're going to hold them both open anyway because it increases your negotiation position. Imagine you've been searching for homes like everybody else. You can't find anything. You finally found the house you want. You put in an offer on it. You're all excited. You're dying to get it. You're hoping no one steals it from you because everybody stole everything from you before and you haven't been able to get one yet. And you get so excited, you drive your mom and your dad by the house over the weekend, maybe your brother and sister too, only to see an open house is there and there's 20 people walking through your house. your house. That realtor is going to try to give it away to somebody else right out from underneath me. He's going to steal it from me. I'm freaking out. I'm going to call my agent. My agent, oh my God, they're holding an open house. What are we going to do? Give him anything. Give him all the money in the world. Make it go away. See what I'm saying? I know some of you can relate because you've received the phone call. Isn't that what a buyer sounds like when you cannot get them a house? When you can't get something under contract, when every one of their offers gets rejected, they freak out. They get in the worst negotiating position in the history of man. Like, it's terrible. And I'm telling that to my seller. So what he's saying to his broker is, take the damn offer. We want the house. Shut this thing down. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing by continuing to work for you when all the other agents would be day drinking. I'm still working and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to have another one next Saturday too. Why? Because now we're under contract, but guess what? We're not done negotiating, are we? We've still got an appraisal and we've still got inspections. And both of those events could cause, in fact, the inspection most likely will cause the buyer to ask us to pay for some repairs or make some repairs and spend some more money. And then we counter back and say, no, but we're just going to do this. And we kind of go back and forth just like, you know, we did with the offers. But now you're holding all these open houses. Do you really think they're going to want to ask you to negotiate any further? No, because when you work with Brian Eisenhower, I'm going to keep the screws to the buyer the entire time. Never stopping negotiating on your behalf. I'm going to be your strongest advocate, ensuring that you get the highest amount of proceeds out of this sale. Does that make sense to you? Good. Because there's one thing I want you to remember. No one works harder than I do to get your home sold. See, I'm showing how hard I work. Now, what did your cousin say he was going to do? Oh, he said open houses don't work. Got it. That's because he's daydreaming. He just wants to hang out on Saturday. See what I'm saying? I'm showing how hard I work. And I go, hey, here's the deal. If for whatever reason this house doesn't sell, you and I are going to probably get into it a little bit because you're going to want me out of your damn house. And I'm going to be in there every single weekend, every single weekend. I'm going to be in that house and I'm going to try to get you out of it so I can get more buyers in it. You're going to tell me, like most of my clients at some point, Brian, take it easy. You're working too hard for me. I like that one. That one usually has an impact because most sellers, and I hate to say this to you, but you know it, think that agents don't do anything. If you're the first agent they've ever heard sat there saying that I'm actually going to do all this work for you, it has a very powerful impact on them. So that's how we do it. Now, so let's say you've got someone that takes 20 listings this year. Philip, that's probably about you, right? Give or take?
Working towards that this year.
Okay. 20 listings, that would mean you need to hold 40 open houses. If you had 40 open houses this year, now mind you, there's 52 weeks in the year. So by my math, that means you only get 12 free weekends, but that's not true. Understand you can hold 4 open houses very comfortably in one weekend, okay? 11 to 12:30, 1:30 to 3, you're out. That's 2. If you need to. I'd prefer not to do it that way, but you totally can. So you can get 2 in a day, 4 in a weekend. You could, there's all different ways to do this. But 40 open houses. You have something like 40 open houses. I always like to say every 5 open houses equals 1 transaction. That's the old adage that I have kind of come to. It's not very scientific, although I have been using it for about 20 years, I'd say. And as I'm working with different agents and teams, it does seem to work out about that number when it's all said and done. So if you were to have 40 of them, that would mean 8 additional transactions, Philip, that you wouldn't have had. That's a big number. And you can see how that could be compete as your secondary lead source right behind your primary, which is your sphere of influence, your referral-based transactions, I would assume. That makes sense? So that's what I ask you to do. Try to set the appointments. And in every listing consultation appointment, I'd like you to try to set 2 open houses. Hell, I don't even care if you hold them. Have someone else hold them. I don't care. But I want you to market them. I want you to, you know what I mean? I want you to put them on social media. I want calls to the neighbors for circle prospecting. I want flyers on doorsteps if I can. I want mailers, whatever I can do to market to lead up to that open house. I can you know, get the email addresses through many different sources of all the people that live in that neighborhood, and I can Facebook retarget ads at them. All kinds of stuff I can do to market around these things. And remember, if you are in an area that is still edgy on holding face-to-face open houses due to the pandemic, understand you're okay if it's by appointment or one by one. My advice, because that's what I'm hearing, that's the most restrictive, is one at a time in an open house. That's what I'm hearing across the country right now. So open houses are allowed everywhere, but in a few select metros, namely Southern California being the biggest one, it's by appointment, which means one at a time. So basically, I would do everything I normally do for open houses, except I'd make people wait outside. And that would make me so excited to have a line of people outside in front of my house with all the neighbors seeing it. Oh, that's the best. I might even have my mom come stand in line too and just get some friends over there just to make it look bigger. You want me to list your house? I got a line of freaking people. Can you imagine? It's awesome.
All right. I'll stand at your house if you'll stand at mine.
There you go. Switch out, right? There you go. Bring a few of your cars too. Park them in the street. You know? So.
Can I share something that came up at a broker meeting?
Uh-huh.
So someone had actually done that. And then the only requirement was that they also got a pre-approval done. So it did say, and it raised some flags, like these brokers got in it with each other at this broker manager owners meeting in our local board area. And the argument, totally. And then the attorneys actually backed the one that said that the open house is actually following the guidelines, because they did three things. They had their open house sign said with appointment and pre-approval. Mm-hmm. And so they had a little tent set up or a canopy set up where they had a pre-approval, a lender doing pre-approvals on the spot. Outside. They were taking temperature. They were getting the PEED form signed. The priorities were the agents who actually scheduled ahead of time and sent the pre-approval and the PEED form. And then they had, like, you know, agents come in late or whatever it is, people run late. Then they were able to run people into the house who did the on-site pre-approval, or they came with a letter from their preferred lender, but they signed the PEED, took the temperature gauge, and then off through the house they went. And they captured all the information. They had to sign in with a phone number and email address. The email address had to, you know, qualify on their iPad.
Hint.
It was kind of neat how they explained it.
A tent is better than a line, Philip. That's amazing. You got a tent and a line. Everybody's going to notice the tent driving down the street. That's beautiful. You know what you should do too is, like, get some bags of blood laying out there. Act like you have the vaccine. That's what you should do. First 20 guests get the vaccine.
Show a freezer outside, then they'll think it's
Go ahead, just pick one.
Can we do that? Can we do that?
That is quite freaking.
I already have the flyer half printed. Can we do that?
Frank, we're all hearing about your copying.
My what?
We're all hearing about your copying. And you should, and some people said you should be nicer to your subordinates.
Hardly. I'm not hard enough.
Good deal. Well, we just gave away three COVID vaccines, so you missed it. Cool. What's that?
Cool. I'm gonna print a flyer and do a promotion myself.
There you go. Yeah, just start selling what you don't have. So okay, so back to it. Philip, that is perfect. So, and I really want to, something he brought up, so important. Realtors, I don't know if other industries have this problem, but you just got these, like, self-policers that get out of control. And for any of you that know me, boy, that cuts against my grain. Like, I don't like that. Because then they run around telling people, like, trying to tank other people's businesses. You can't do that. You can't earn a living. And it's just a lot of negativity. So I don't really like it. And usually they're wrong a lot. Like Philip just noted, that the attorney for the Association of Realtors stood up and said, you can have an open house under these conditions.
Can't call it an open house though.
What's that?
You just can't call it an open house, but you have to have that.
You can say open house by appointment.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would do. And the appointment, but how you just cover an appointment, like, that's totally up to you. You know, someone could just show up and say, hey, we're free right now. I got a slot for you. Boom. Sign, fill, whatever, go. And
what if we marketed it? This is not an open house. We're not having an open house at 1 o'clock. Kind of like Elon Musk when he marketed, this is not a flamethrower. It's literally called not a flamethrower, but it's a flamethrower. So what if, could we do that? This is not an open house at 1 o'clock.
Could you do it? Totally could do it. Will it work?
Hold on, Albert, can I do it?
Why are you asking me? Ask the broker.
I don't ask Bob anything. I ask for forgiveness before I ask for permission.
Bob's thinking.
I think you probably want to have a by appointment disclaimer on there, but I think you could say this is not an open, that's marketing. That's not, you know what I mean? This is not an open house. That's clearly a marketing gimmick. So I think all of Philip's disclaimers would apply there too. That would be my guess. In other words, in your area, you can't have multiple people in the open house. For some reason, they declare an open house as that. I don't, but I think an open house, it's up to you how you want to hold your own open house. And I think it's up to you to hold it very safely. And I think you can hold it very safely and doing it one at a time is just fine. So I think it's time. And I think everyone should go back to their offices and tell everyone, hey, Brian just said we can start doing open houses again. We should start doing open houses again. Damn right I did. Tell them all, because I'm right. You can do open houses. I know it's scary to a lot of you. You've been out of it for that long. It feels scary. I promise you. It's kind of like, you first step out. Like, I know at some point my mother is going to leave her home, and I wonder what that day is going to be like when she steps foot outside and braves the real world, because she has not done that for almost a year. Kind of the same thing here with the open houses. If you're in an area that has not been holding them, kind of getting out there and seeing people again is going to be weird. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And so will holding the open houses. And don't be surprised if other agents start freaking out on you, because that's what other agents do when certain people are doing. I mean, think about it. All lower producing agents do is bash the marketing activities of the top producers. If you don't know that, go down to the grievance or professional standards committee meetings and watch those all day. You'll see what I'm talking about. So in other words, if people are griping at you because you're marketing open houses, that means you're usually doing something right, like a top producer. It means you're doing something at all. Now, I'm going to say this one last time before we get ready to go. I'm not saying for you to have open houses if you're uncomfortable with having an open house. I'm not saying hold an open house if you don't believe it's safe yet to have an open house. That's totally up to you. You do it, you don't do it. That's totally up to you. What I am saying is someone else is not preventing you from having one right now. So it's your choice, not somebody else's. Does that make sense?
Hey, Brian.
Like, I'm a scaredy cat, just to let you know. Like, I don't put myself in any, I'm kind of a hermit anyway, let alone the virus. So I'm telling everybody to go, be brave, but here I am, But that's me. Bob, go ahead.
Ever since March or last year, all I've heard is, I can't do this, I can't do that. The board says this, the county says this. And I keep on saying, go out there and get your business.
Good.
Don't let anyone stop you.
Oh, Bob, you're a broker? You're the broker too?
Yeah, I am.
Albert, we got a clone, Bob. We got lots of him. There's got to be like stem cell something.
I will never get in the way of people making a living. There are just way too many critiques. When I was really busy years ago and doing REO, I would get a violation probably every other day. Other day, I'd have to go to the board, go to the governance committee or whatever, and they'd always take it off. But there are more people watching what you do and telling you what not to do, and they're the ones not making a living.
That's correct.
That's true.
Yeah, so don't let the haters hate. Don't buy into their stuff. You've heard enough of those memes all over Facebook and stuff. When they're attacking you for that, they're trying to say they're being more responsible and all you care about is money and you're putting everybody at risk. Only you know how safe you're being. Okay, so that's your thing. You're allowed to do this, and I'd be very safe. I'd be the first guy to make everyone wear a mask. I'd be the first guy to keep people outside 6 feet apart. I'd be the first guy. I'd have guys wearing gloves. I'd even have booties, not because I think it's safe. I think it looks cooler. But I'd do all that stuff. and I'd have a lot of open houses right now. The reason I'd have them, like I said, there are no houses to buy. Everybody wants to buy them. So if you hold an open house, everyone, I mean everyone, is going to go to your one house. And that's what's happening right now. So if you're the person that can hold it, man, hold one this weekend. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Be brave. Put that foot outside the door and do it. If you yourself feel like you can do it safely. Let me put that caveat on. I feel like I know enough now where I could do it safely. I could be wrong, but I feel like I could do it safely. Make sense? If you want to get, if you're not afraid of that kind of safety and you're afraid of MLS police coming down on you, just get real visible with the by appointment part.
Yeah, because I think I love open houses, but I'm thinking, how do you keep people, if you have a little line, how do you keep them 6 feet apart? And when you're inside, you know, I could have a sign on the door that says, you know, I'll be with you in a minute or whatever, because I have two people in the house, but how do I keep the others 6 feet apart?
You know, I'd probably just bring something like cones or something, or just, you know, like I think of my daughter's soccer cones, you know, you put them out there and put them six feet down the driveway, you know, or you can put tape, masking tape on the walkway up. Philip, what do you think?
A really good one. And I put it in the chat for those of us in the SFE, if you look up Carrie Eckert, he'll actually say in his message, you know, you will register at the front desk or whatever the canopy or tent is. And then they text people as if you're like at a restaurant waiting for your food. And then, you know, the operation thing goes off. So you'll get a text message when it's your turn. And if you don't show up, someone else will take your turn. So people will wait in their cars. He actually says, you'll register, even though you have an appointment, you'll walk up, you'll sign in or check your name off. We'll take your temperature. You'll go back, wait in your car. And when it's your time, we'll text you a few minutes ahead of your showing. And so there, you know, he'll take a few photos and show how active his listing is and put that on social media. But the reality is on his checklist or on his little form, he explicitly says that we'll text you. And I think that's great. Maybe you get a phone number out of it that you wouldn't have gotten. Yeah. But you're either texting the client directly or you're texting the agent, whoever's the one that's putting it together.
And I think that's phenomenal. And I think the way that they're doing that actually impresses me. You know, like, even though it's like a bunch of stuff, you know, as a seller or a buyer, I'm like, whoa, these people have it together. This makes them look good, right? So I like that. But I'm also going to say this, you don't need to go to that extent either. No one's requiring a tent or all that kind of, or texting and all that stuff. But that does make it look awesome.
He does it for his, I called him about it. He does it for his farm in Granada Hills. So when the neighbors see, like, wow, this guy's really buttoned up. And if, you know, if that's what he's doing for Fred's house and selling
it. Do it, like, for us.
Imagine what he does for us. You know, it's just also, and it was also hot when he was making those posts, but, you know.
Yeah, that's where farming and open houses, you guys have heard me say this, geographic farming of neighborhoods and open houses are so tightly intertwined. Because open houses become like the one time you're on display to impress the other sellers in the neighborhood. So that's why you see me getting all excited when I hear about a tent in the front yard and pre-qualifying people and a line out in front of the house. And we're talking about bringing cars up, because that's you on display. And good geographic farmers that dominate certain neighborhoods they want to dominate, usually open houses are their key weapon. Absolutely key weapon. And you want to kind of jumpstart this year. Because if you can get some listings in a neighborhood this year, let's say you got one listing or two listings in one neighborhood, that would mean four different open houses you would have in that one neighborhood. The likelihood of getting another third listing before those two signs come down, pretty darn good. Now that's three people you've sold houses to. Now you're sending just solds out, sale pendings, actives. They just see all of a sudden in like a matter of four open houses, you are the recognizable dominant agent in that neighborhood. So that's what I want to leave you with. It's what I'm leaving all of our clients with, is try to set two open houses with every listing. Use the scripts to hold them, even if they sell too fast anyway. Okay. And have as many as you can. Believe it or not, in a low inventory market, that is when open houses really, really work at the top. Do you know there's different markets for different lead generation activities? Did you know that? Open houses work amazing in a hot, hot, hot seller's market with low inventory. In a bad market, a little bit harder. FSBOs are, I mean, open houses are a lot harder, but FSBOs are easy. FSBOs gets really easy in a bad market because it's so hard to sell a house. They need a realtor. Lots of expired listings in a bad market because it's so hard to sell a house. So expireds get real popular in a bad market. The reason I tell you that is so you believe me. Now is the best market in any of our lifetimes to hold an open house. First quarter of 2021, we have never had lower inventory. So I can officially say it has never been a more lucrative period to hold a bunch of open houses than right now. And you watch, you tell me if you can ever remember a season where you had 50 people through every open house you held. Like, and you'll see it. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch my training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or join our Facebook called the Real Estate Agent Roundtable. Thanks again.